Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do apologise, first of all, to colleagues for being so eager to get on and preach and get into the pulpit that I managed to short-circuit the prayers, so perhaps I'll lead us in prayer at the end of the sermon. But the text from the prophet Isaiah perhaps explains that eagerness. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. I trust that we do feel eager in praising the Lord in all the earth, and indeed in considering how we might do that in our contemporary society. And I want to offer a reflection, drawing from both our readings this evening, to think about how we might give an account of certain elements of the hopes and aspirations of contemporary society, and how that might fit with our reading of the scriptures and our life of faith in the world. Now, I'm not usually given to quoting the lyrics of the Swedish 1970s pop group ABBA. Usually I reserve my references to ABBA as being that beautiful, intimate Aramaic word used by Jesus and elsewhere by St. Paul to speak of the intimacy of the relationship that he shared with his Father, as each of us does as a child of God. Abba, Father. But tonight I do want to quote a verse from Abba's song, I Have a Dream. Now, for some people, you think, oh, this is a long time ago in the 1970s. Other people here tonight might think, oh, what a wonderful retro feel. But it seems to me that those words from the song, which, don't worry, I'm not going to sing to you, I'm not going to have a Mamma Mia moment, those words seem to have a contemporary resonance some 40 or so years on from their first singing. A resonance for many people in our society, not just the young. And those lyrics, which I'll read, lay down a challenge, I think, for those of us within a religious tradition to think about how we respond to the desires and fears and hopes of our generation and how they are met in Jesus Christ. So you'll know the tune, and the opening verse goes like this. I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, you can take the future even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels. When I know the time is right for me, I'll cross the stream. I have a dream. So in a sense, what I want to do this evening is an exercise in Christian apologetics on these lyrics to see how we respond to the contemporary challenge that our readings tonight can help us address. The first thing to say then is that our reading from Isaiah draws the reader, each one of us, to connect the way in which God has acted in the past with the way that God acts in the present and will act in the future. The dream, as it were, of the prophet Isaiah is of God's restoration of his people so that they will be blessed by him afresh in the prophet's own day and indeed in the future. And as the prophet looks back and looks to the present and looks to the future, his prophecy culminates in thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise that echoes words from the book of Exodus, in the song of Moses and the song of Miriam. When they sang a hymn of thanksgiving and praise, when God had freed the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt, a liberation that becomes, if you like, a model or paradigm of how God has and can and will act in human lives. The first reading then gives us the memory of a dream, and it gives us a song to sing.
So we Christians have a dream, the glorious liberty of the children of God, and we have a song to sing. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. That at least is Isaiah's song to sing. May it be ours too. Abba declared that a dream and a song to sing will help me cope with anything.
You might say that this isn't so far removed from the words of the first letter of Peter, that we as Christians should always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within us. Be ready, if you like, to sing the song of God's works in our lives. This, you could say, touches St. Paul's language in our second reading of consolation. Paul knows all about it, that consolation in affliction is one of the greatest of gifts. Paul describes in most heartfelt language his own affliction to the point of feeling utterly, unbearably crushed, so that he despaired of life itself. That really is affliction in extremis. So what is the hope, the joy, that can be breathed into that situation of affliction and utter devastation? A hope that is, dare I say it, a little less superficial than Abba's lyrics. Well, the hope that Paul set his store in is that deep, enduring conviction of the love of God in Christ Jesus, which is sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is the hope for Paul and for followers of Jesus Christ that takes us into the future. Abba speaks of taking the future, which is one of those meaningless phrases, but that many people respond to. It's the sort of vacuous management speak that says things like, and you can Google this, take hold of your future, or the future will take hold of you. What does that mean? What's it saying? Well, it seems to be strong in saying that there's an importance of human agency, of taking hold of things so that we don't slip into fatalism about the future. But that sort of phrase lacks an account of what gives hope for the future. It fails to recognise that our future is not simply about our own efforts, but about being carried along by deep conviction in God's faithfulness. Then we move on to angels. I believe in angels, sing Abba. This is another interesting area where contemporary people are very often relatively happy to say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I wonder if you've met people who will say that. And perhaps we see alongside that sort of thing, this belief in angels. It seems to capture the mystique and etherealness of spirituality, whatever that word spirituality actually means. But it doesn't then connect the spiritual life with actual bodily existence. This is what is widely known as dualism, two areas of life, a dislocated body and soul, or body and spirit. Christian life is not lived in the hope of angels, but in the hope of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, which makes for what we might call a holistic or whole person approach. We are body and spirit together. Religion is the rooting of the spiritual impulse of humanity into the forms and ways of living embodied lives, so that we can cherish and value our bodies as much as our minds. And this is about patterns and disciplines, about habit forming
in the ways of virtuous living. This is almost the opposite of belief in angels, which keeps human minds in a neverland of vague spirituality. As we move on then to the closing lyrics of Abba, this is where they touch a deep motif of Hebrew and Christian religion that I've already alluded to in the Exodus, the liberation of the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt. Abba sings, "I'll cross the stream, I have a dream." Chapter 12 of the prophet Isaiah echoes this song of Moses and Miriam, not when they'd crossed a simple stream, but rather crossed the Red Sea. And the prophet reminds us, "The Lord will wave his hand over the river with his scorching wind, and it will split into seven channels to make a way to cross it on foot. So there shall be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that is left for his people, as there was for Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt." The dream then, if we can call it that, of God's people, is that the people who call God Abba, Father, is the God who has delivered his people through the waters and can and will do it again, such that each one of us tonight, tomorrow morning, throughout this coming week, can sing the song of God's salvation.